This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Dashiell Kim Gibson is here. She's just returned from Korea, where he has shown her award-winning film, People Are the Sky. She had 17 showings in Korea, and it is about her trip to North Korea, which we will hear about later. She's a painter, she's a writer, she's a filmmaker, she's a scholar. But today, she is premiering a book that she has translated from North Korean. What is the title of the book, Dashiell?
Lark.
And tell me who the poet is.
Kim Sang-hoon.
Why did you choose a North Korean poet from the 1940s who lived till the 1980s to bring to American literature?
His poems are simple, deep, inspiring, touch your heart, and I had to share his beautiful, magnificent poem to other people. That's why.
Are you happy with the book?
Yes, I am.
And how long did it take you to translate from the original North Korean to English?
Well, I translated only 50 of them. There are a lot and lot more. But it took one day for one poem, all day, with my soul literally concentrated on it.
And then you had it edited, and then you presented it and published it, and now it is going to be known all over America. He would never have been known before, Dashiell. So tell us a little bit about this poet, where he lived and why he wrote.
He was born in South Korea, actually, which is called Gyeongsangdo. It's a province at the southern part of Korea. But he ended up living in the north because of the Korean War. In 1950, he joined North Korean army, and when the Korean War was ending, he chose to stay there because he was always a socialist in his heart, and he wanted to promote his ideal belief in socialism that pursues equality and justice and fairness of society.
Well, I have read deeply every poem in this book, and I want to say I have never read poetry like this. I have never read poetry that came from the soil, that came from a farmer, that came from such a different perspective. You have really made a contribution to American letters. He's known in Korea, right?
Very well known.
And you call him an avant-garde poet. Why?
Because his forms of the poetry and the content go away from the original form of lyrical poems, sentimental poems. He deals with hard social issues, especially in relation to what he has seen because of the war.
We have to remind people of the Korean conflict because it happened before many of our listeners were born, but America did carpet bomb a whole bunch of the Korean soil, and he writes about that, and he writes about the effect of that. And it is not vitriolic writing, it is sorrowful writing. But he finds beauty everywhere in spite of that. Will you read us the title poem, Lark?
Thank you, I will. Lark, all of you birds, what do you eat to stay alive? Do you eat dewdrops, wind, and grass to survive? Me, I too am hungry to go on living, eating pine porridge, 3 meals each day with not even a drop of salt. I don't know exactly why, but everything seems to be dying bit by bit. Farmers are always so starving. Mom, please let us die tonight and become a lark who does not worry about what to wear and what to eat.
What a beautiful poem. Let us become a lark and not worry about what to wear and what to eat. And tell us his name again.
Kim Sang-hoon.
Kim Sang-hoon. He has relatives still alive, right?
Yes. Actually, he has a brother-in-law, Suk Jong-yu, who was a classmate of mine, and it is through that classmate that I was introduced to his poems.
And his wife is still alive?
Yes.
What do they think of the book? Do they know of it?
Well, I don't have the response from North Korea, from his wife and relatives, because I've not had contact with them since the book was out. Of course, his brother-in-law thinks the book is great because I literally did the work with him because I translated, but to make sure that everything I did was as right as anybody could be, I sent every poem I translated to Suk Jong, his brother-in-law, and so we worked very closely together. So naturally, he thinks the book is great.
Also, I remember the whole process while you were doing this, and I remember at one point, he would say, oh, that poem is a little too lyrical. Let's make it exactly like he said it. He did not want to depart too much from the voice.
Yes.
Because translation can distort it. But you did not.
Well, I don't know. I hope I did not. Because every translation is one step away from the original work. And I really fear of any kind of translation. So when I was translating this, I had conflict of doing it and not doing it. Not doing it, I thought was bad because his poems are so magnificent. It would deprive of the knowledge of these poems from many others. So that finally gave me courage to translate.
So that is the fear you had before you started the job. That was your major fear.
Yes.
That you wouldn't give credit to him.
That's right. And I don't know, no matter how good you are in translating, it's one step removed from the original work. And the language that he used, Korean poem, translated into English, no matter how good you were, there is little something lost, and I did not want to do that.
Was there ever a word that you could not translate from Korean?
There were many of them, and I did my very best. I mean, I think about Korean words that are not translatable, not just his poems, into English, and I think every language has that uniqueness in their own right.
We're talking to Dashiell Kim Gibson, who is a filmmaker, a writer, a painter, a scholar. Dr. Gibson actually has her advanced degree in theology, but she has used her vision, putting it into action in the world, working toward progress and uncovering little known things. Very briefly, tell us about your trip to Seoul recently. You have had 17 screenings of People Are the Sky. Just summarize that film that you have just produced.
People Are the Sky is my film about North Korea. And the title comes from Donghak, which literally means Eastern learning, which is indigenous philosophy, religion in Korea. And Donghak believes that everybody is common and everybody can be elevated to the status of God, therefore raising the status of common people. And the word people are the sky came from that. And I believe that everybody, common citizens, are the people who are the sky. So I'm trying to promote the equality of all human beings in this title, especially North Koreans who are so little known. And if they are known, known in a harmful way, because everything that mainstream America and other people have is not right.
The people of North Korea, you show and you document and you speak to them, and we see the humanity which you bring to the film, which hasn't been seen before. And people are very surprised that you got the film out of North Korea. But I believe it's because you were born in North Korea. You went to your grandmother's grave to bring flowers. You went to your village. You speak the dialect, and therefore you had nothing to fear.
Well, I mean, everybody who goes to North Korea have prejudices. I did not have one. And the first rule of mine when I go and film everything is I go with empty head, empty mind, empty soul, with complete openness. And I think I knew North Koreans better than any of those people who went there. And so I was able to get what true images of North Koreans are.
It's quite a film, and it will have a life after you, and it's still going to make the rounds. It has been in the film, I think the film festival in D.C., it's been all over the country, and it's not stopped yet. But today we are talking to the writer in you, and let's go back to Kim Sang-hoon and find another poem that we can share. This beautiful farmer who was a poet.
This poet is called Cow. Oh, cow, everything on you looks curled, even your toenails and fur, as if you were just spit out from a tiger's mouth. How twisted you look, how speckles on your neck and back, and you are so skeletal that we can count every rib. You've lived with the farmers of this land so long. You look as poor and pale as they do. After the farmer's hands gathered the golden barley, swaying like waves in the fields, you, owned by the most starved farmers, have to survive the winter, eating only cold grass. You have two sharp horns, strong enough to knock all the things down, but you follow your master with eyes as gentle as those of your master. Oh, cow, you look so hard, you will break your bones. Is there any way you can fatten and grow in this land where toiling farmers work so hard and are punished? You seem to be punished just like them. Those farmers who are cheated 100 times, yet they carry on. They go on living. Their blood keeps flowing. Is it because you are so loyal on the side of those farmers that you have no freedom, have nothing left you can do but moo? Such a sad cry.
Now, who in the world could tell us more about poverty than the ribs showing on a cow? And that is amazing that that cow is going to become famous. If ever a cow in literature is going to become famous, that one will be. Because he looks at an animal and you get a whole history of what's happening socially, economically, and the plight of the farmer. So that is, I think, a quintessential poem by this poet. And it shows us the reason you chose him. Because of the originality.
Thank you. You're completely right, yeah.
And the authenticity. What did you feel when you first read him? What was your first response just in reading him in Korean? Were you surprised or shocked or never had seen anything like it? It's not like Korean poetry.
Well, I was put in complete awe. I was speechless. I was almost breathless. And it took me to another world, to the world of the simplicity and the power of those poems. And they are social, political, yet so beautifully human and beautiful, universal meaning of the art, conveying every one of those words.
Political poetry is usually rant. It's polemical. The softness of the cow's eyes says everything there. It says everything. It says this is not a sharp criticism. This is a plight. So, so very beautiful. Let us hear one more, and then we're going to hear it in Korean. What is your next poem that you'd like to choose?
Sunflower. Even when the wind blows, we are sunflowers. Even if rain pours down like fire, tearing apart ink-black clouds, we are sunflowers. Even after the last trace of sunset disappears, bringing pitch-black night, darkness as deep as the bottom of the ocean, we are sunflowers. Our hearts burning bright in the sky high above our heads is the great sun lighting the universe. Our chests burst with pride and joy as we live looking up the sun, standing on the earth where roots are buried. We keep on living with unshakable will, our heads lifted high. Thousands of grasses and trees, flourishing branches and pink blossoms are like a breaking fever from the devoted sun. Tomorrow will come, we whisper, accompanied by the shouts of magnificent triumph from the flying snowflakes and the rain-soaked wind, strong as tidal currents. We are sunflowers, eternal families of the great sun, lighting the entire universe like a field of stars.
You know, a field of stars. Governments cannot talk to each other. But look, we have a poet from North Korea who is talking to an American audience. Poetry really is a bridge. Will you read that to us in Korean?
Okay. 바람이 불어도 우리는 해바라기다. 불같이 먹장 구름을 찍고 비가 억수로 쏟아져도 우리는 해바라기다. 산마루에 한 가닥 노을 자리 사라지고 칠흑의 밤을 이끌어와 어둠이 바다미처럼 깊고 깊어도 우리는 해바라기들, 우리의 마음은 밝게 타오르고 있다. 머리 위 높은 하늘에는 우주를 밝히는 위대한 태양이 있어 태양을 우러르며 살아간다는 이 가슴 벅찬 자랑과 기쁨으로 하여 뿌리 묻은 땅을 더욱 다지며 강의한 의지로 구람없이 고개를 든다. 일만 풀들과 일만 나무들이 무성한 가지와 연붉은 망울들의 지열처럼 스며오르는 태양의 정성을 심어주고 눈보라 비바람을 넘어서 거대한 승리의 함성과 함께 조수처럼 밀려올 레일을 약속한다. 우리는 해바라기 어두운 누리를 별빛처럼 밝히는 영원한 태양의 가족들.
For those who have just tuned in, this is the Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress, and you have just heard the voice of Dashiell Kim Gibson reading in Korean the poems that she has translated from the poet Kim Sang-hoon. And this is a North Korean poet who was part of the Korean conflict, had originally been born in South Korea, and lived his life fighting for justice. Do you think he would hope for unification?
Well, his life's passion was unification. He wanted to live to see the small peninsula Korea unified.
You've just returned from Seoul. And what is the feeling in Seoul about unification?
Seoul and South Korea are sort of divided, putting large part of the people into indifferent attention to this unification. They think South Korea did very well within a short period of time. They think they had good life and they are still having good life. Why stir the good enough world and make trouble? So they don't think about unification. Those of people who still want unification are in the minority in terms of number, but their passion and devotion and commitment are far above of those people who ignore unification. So it's a split country about the issue of unification.
Are there relatives that live on both sides of the DMZ?
Yes.
Isn't that terrible?
Of course it is terrible.
Yeah, they're all of one blood. That is terrible. And now you're talking about doing a film about the DMZ maybe, because that's a big deal. Tell the audience about when you were a little girl and the bombing hit your house and you walked with your grandmother across the 38th parallel.
For the first time in my short life, I experienced everything being broken and destroyed, including human lives, by the bomb, man-made bomb. And the fires were everywhere, screams were everywhere. I had to walk across the dead bodies of my own friends. That was my experience of bombing. I had no imagination about how terrible it would be. After that, my life has changed, and my search for just, fair, and loving God led me to different direction. I always believed he was good, omnipotent, omniscient, and everything else. But I said to myself, if you are so good, why do you do these terrible things? So that's what led me to the study of religion.
And you actually walked with your mother from North to South Korea, with your grandmother.
I actually walked holding my grandmother's hand across 38th parallel, which people call, that's a dividing line from north to south, to live in so-called country of democracy and where good occupied forces stay, which means Americans. That's the choice my father made.
Yes, you had to get out of a war-torn place. But so you went there and you were raised. And I think we need to tell people about the book you wrote about that, and they can get that book today. What is the book about your own life's experience?
It's called The Korean Sky.
And they can get that book if they Google
go
it.
To Amazon.com.
Korean Sky, and it talks all about your childhood, how your mother made kimonos out of silk and you would pass them through the fence to the American soldiers, how you sold apples in the snow. It is a story. So let us now switch gears and go back to another man's story and read us the poems you translated from Kim Sang-hoon.
It's called The Bat, B-A-T.
And that's my favorite poem in the book.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so I should be extra careful reading it. Bat, sorrowful bat, you yearned to fly so much that you tried to steal angels' wings and were cursed. You became a wanderer at night. I understand how deeply you must feel agonized to fly during the dreary hours, shunning the light like a criminal. From the day you were expelled from your territory, you are no longer a friend even to the rat family who steals small, worthless things. You must go on living was a curse. It covered your face with a mask and caught you lies. So you ended up mimicking swallows during the night and hiding in forsaken mud walls in daytime. You bird who exists by eating darkness, do you think you are the only one who knows the heart of agony instead of letting the glitter of happiness thrill you to numbness you chose to trust misfortune that can fall upon you any time?
What a concept. Here was a bat who could have been an angel, but was cursed to darkness. Even to put a veil over the face, even the rats would not be part of his family, has to live in mud caves. So that is an analogy, I think, of great despair. But I found that to be the most imaginative and far-reaching of his imagery. Each poem is very different, but I really thought he went somewhere with that poem. Do you like it?
Oh, I love it. And one of the reasons why I like his poem so much is he can really describe human plight, universal plight, plight of the cosmos by choosing such subjects like bat, cow, and lark.
Sunflower. Penguin.
Yes.
It is truly a contribution to literature that would never have been known before. There was a Korean who won the Nobel Prize and won the Pulitzer, and I was wondering if this poet would get like recognition, if somehow the circulation of this book could be managed so that he could get worldwide recognition.
Well, can you remind me which poet are you talking about?
I don't know. I can't pronounce his name. But after we get on air, I'll give you his name.
But I don't remember who it was. It was, is it a living poet?
Yes.
Cohen, I think. Yes. It's called Cohen. He used to live in New York. He wanted to leave South Korea, and he lived in New York. And I actually met him. He's a nice poet. But to my mind, his poems do not compare to those of Kim Sang-un.
You're right.
Yep.
You're right. Mm-hmm. So let's hope there's a prize waiting for this book and for the translator, Dashiell Kim Gibson. We're at the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. And finally, just sum up the reception your film just got in Korea.
Reception of my film in Korea was most inspiring one I've had in a long time. I will tell you two really impressive response from the audience. One woman said, watching your film was like reading a long poem by Seol. Seol is one of a few best-known lyrical poets in Korea. She thought my film was like reading a long poem by him. Another woman stood up and said, I watched your film not with my eyes, but with my chest.
That we know what that means, don't we?
Yes.
Yes. I would like you to end the program by reading the last poem, Penguin. And once again, he shows his huge imagination in giving political commentary in the form of an animal.
Penguin, how are you? A gentleman of the South, you are wearing a black tuxedo. Inside that, a fragrant starched white shirt smelling of perfume. Could it be that you yearn for that vast land where only the snow and the ice are piled layer upon layer, where you can climb those beckoning steps and stand on the rock? A gentleman who has grown up in that country so pure and white, I know why you feel so lonely. That's because you can't mingle with those who heighten their stature with falsity and cheating, who fill their stomach with the tears of their own people. You can't mingle with those impure gentlemen. I guess the memories of days that were clear without a speck of dirt can swell your breast, although the South Pole is cold.
So that's quite a commentary on South Korea and North Korea. That was the voice of Dashiell Kim Gibson, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. This is funded by the Witter Binner Foundation for Poetry and the Reva and David Logan Foundation and Friends of Poetry, Maria Van Buren, Longin Ambrose, and Hiram LaRue. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.